It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus. Hey, guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun, too. It's a thing, and now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun, Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from, with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere, and each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Boys and girls, we proudly present a spectacular festival of theme park audio commentary magic. Do we like theme parks podcast?
Yo. Bring it back now.
Wingardium Leviosa.
Welcome, foolish mortal.
We love theme parks.
Welcome, my fellow theme parkers, to the We Like Theme Park show. This is our news episode. Yeah, a little shorty. Get you caught up on the news. And as always, your go-to spot for opinions and news. I just said news and other nerdy fun happenings around the Disney and Universal theme parks. I'm Bondo. Howdy ho, Diz nerds. Yee-hoo. Welcome to the show. I have, as always, just some of my favorite people, but also co-hosts, Disney Bounder, theme park fashionista, and just all-around good person. Get to know her. She's from the Churro Fund. It's Miriam Kenley. Miriam, what's happening, girl?
Have you run out of monikers for me?
No, I just didn't write one today for this thing, for our new news little mini show that we thought we would put together for Diz nerds that just want to know what's going on. And I'm sure your opinions, your hot takes, Miriam, because they're hot. They're red hot.
Red hot.
Yep, they are.
Mostly Universal today.
A lot of Universal today. Yeah, I miss talking about Universal. And also joining us to talk about Universal, Disney, and all other things, it's Disney culinary connoisseur and Tron fan, Disney Megamind, and just, you know, an all-around happy Marylander. It's Tinker J. Tinker J, what's up?
What's up, programs?
What's happening? How you doing since the last episode we just recorded?
I'm just being super merry here in Maryland.
Yeah, right?
We're going
to
ride that one.
Yeah, keep that train running. And also joining us, the happiest beard in Orlando, the host of the Disney Underground show and Late Night Magic, along with Piano Rob. I love how Piano Rob has made his way into your intro. It's Gene Fitzmagic. Gene, what's up, my friend?
I'm just having a good time, man. Ready to talk some news.
You want to talk some news? This is like right up your alley because, you know, Gene loves talking to interviewing guests, and now we can just talk about stuff happening in the park. No more silliness, no more games, no more dream up one of these. You just get to talk.
I'm wearing a tuxedo right now. They can't see it, but I am.
Yeah, this one's not on the YouTubes, but we're having a good time because, you know, there's been so much stuff going on in the parks. And one thing that is really near and dear to Miriam, and she definitely wanted to talk about it. So we're just going to get into it, friends. We're going to jump in on some news right here on We Like Theme Parks.
Talking about news.
What's happening in the news, Miriam?
All right. So this week in the news for Universal, a lot of people who write about theme parks were given a press release. Ooh. And in the press release, they were talking about all about the new Nintendo Land and what's going to be in it. Mm-hmm. But they kind of dropped like a very subtle hint or line in there that kind of went unnoticed unless you really paid attention. And that was that a few months ago, they said that the Nintendo Land was going to be open 2023. They didn't give a date.
Yeah.
And then in this one, they said early 2023.
Oh.
So that is leading everyone to believe probably springtime. Like, they think it will be open before summer rush, which everyone was thinking it would be the end of 23 because they were being so vague about dates. So just a little bit interesting that it might be open a lot sooner than everybody thought that it would be.
You know, it's funny. It makes you wonder, right? Is that premeditated or do they make mistakes? Like, is someone
What? Universal is really funny, though, because we know they didn't announce VelociCoaster until it was almost finished. Right. They were like, and they were making jokes on their Twitter and stuff. Like, what dinosaur coaster are you talking about?
What is up with that? I don't get that strategy.
I love it about them. Like, Disney's so calculated about their press release, right? And it's like, annoyingly so sometimes. Like, I love them, but like, come on, give us a little more information. And I feel like we just never know what to expect with Universal. There's no precedent for how they release this stuff. So why not let it be a surprise and a throwaway line in their press bulletin?
It's like the anti-Disney, I think. I feel like they do it just spite Disney, right? Yeah. They just say, whatever Disney does, we're going to do it the opposite, because if you come here, you come in here for something else. Do you know what I mean?
I feel like they've said as much on their Twitter, for sure.
Right. Yeah, how often do you see them troll something going on at Disney, like the popcorn buckets? They troll them. They troll them for that. So they're always trolling Disney online. So.
Wasn't there some fan who came from like Sweden or something and they couldn't get a reservation or a ticket? And they were outside with signs going, please help us get into Disney. And Universal was like, hey, come on over here. We got some tickets for you. Like, we got you. Always trolling Universal. It's part of the fun. But I feel like I feel like having done this show for 3 years now, so many times it was like Universal mentioned this tidbit and it feels like an accident. It feels like, whoops, did you write early in that press release? No. Like, so I don't know if it's like a mess up or if they're just messing with us or whatever, but it serves for something to get excited about, because the sooner the better. People have been staring at that backdrop in Hollywood, all those beautiful primary Mario colors.
Yeah. I also think like getting it open before summer is really smart. Like, just get it done before the vacations begin, you know? Yeah. Like, I mean, it would work also with fall. They do a really good job with Halloween Horror Nights. That would draw a crowd too, but I just think I'm glad that it's sooner than later.
I don't think they need to do it. It makes sense if they're going to do it in early, right? Because they don't need the crowds on the summer. People still go out there for the summer, right? The summer vacation. The fall, they got the Halloween Horror stuff. To me,
their Christmas is weak. They need a little, like, it's not like Orlando Christmas.
You're right. 100% right. Flat. So maybe it could be something where at the end of the year they could do it.
I feel like if the summer's coming, it's always good to have new attractions open just to make the experience altogether better. There's more room in the parks if we're filling up new lands. You know what I mean? Or they're just going to pack more people in there altogether, which could totally happen. It is what it is. Mm-hmm. But
can I just say, I love how California's Universal Studios gets all this new stuff. Over the past few years, like they're getting all this new stuff, and yet they have the tiniest little bit of space. Well, and yet here we are, and ours is taking a decade to build a new park.
But you're getting a full park. Like,
they couldn't even give our Jurassic Park ride a facelift. Like, we're still stuck with these horrible, saggy latex animatronic dinosaurs.
There's something so charming about that, though, now. These sad dinosaurs. Where you can see, like, you can almost see, like, the rubber coming off the bone.
Yes! Oh, my God, I totally could last time. And I was like, they get a mosasaur.
But here's the thing, Jeanette, they have to do that because Universal Studios Hollywood is really not a good park. Like, it's showing its age, and they needed these updates because there's just not a whole lot to do there. And our Harry Potter area is so small and we just have the one ride. Like, so they need to add more things to it to get people to want to come back, because I haven't been in years because I'm like, well, win it all. But there is to do, and it wasn't a lot.
I mean, we're kind of veering away from the news, and that's what I love about this show. But I always felt like the Hollywood Universal is actually on a studio lot, right?
Yeah. So that's part of why they can't expand too much. Yeah.
Right.
Didn't the Orlando one used to be too? Because didn't they used to do Nickelodeon there?
Yeah,
Nickelodeon Studios was Nickelodeon Studios.
But it was literally one building.
Speaking of Nickelodeon, we are going so far off the track now. But I went to college with a girl. She was my roommate in college, and she was on Legends of the Hidden Temple.
No.
Yes. She was a purple parrot, and she had the shirt still and everything. She grew up in Florida. Do you guys remember on those shows they were always giving away like an all-inclusive trip to Florida?
Yeah, yeah. And most of those kids were Florida locals. I gotta say, if you listened, if you watched our live stream of our episode about memorabilia from the parks, we did all Disney parks, but let me tell you, any existing piece of Nickelodeon from Universal, I would pay gobs of money for, because I am so upset that I started going to that park after Nickelodeon was gone.
A piece of the aggro crag would be
okay. Yes.
You know, I got to say, and I this sounds lame, but Nickelodeon even had a land at my local theme park. Like, the kids' land was an all Nickelodeon for years, and then boom, sponsorship gone around the same time as Disney wiped out. Now it's Peanuts, lame, Snoopy. Mm.
That's like the fifth choice for all random theme parks across the nation. Yeah. Like, we can get Peanuts.
It's so cheap.
And Looney Tunes is always at the, I saw a picture recently of you and Peppermint Patty, Bondo.
That's right. Trying to feel Disney vibes, but I live out of state. Yeah. My sad face. Yeah, I do. Like,
I do like that. I mean, SeaWorld in San Diego, they have Sesame Street.
They have a new Sesame Street in Orlando too.
Yeah. They do. I love that. I wish they would do more with that. They have that IP, like, do some stuff.
It's just hard to explain to your kid. Like, your kids are like, who the hell is that? And you got to explain. And
the Peanuts?
Know, yeah. Like,
yeah.
Well, so Peppermint Patty, it's like, that's a, what, why does, is that a boy or is it a girl? I'm like, it's just Peppermint Patty.
It's a cartoon.
It's a cartoon.
I don't know.
You know, what? Why is that kid got a blanket all the time? Is that a stinky kid? Peanuts is kind of the worst. You know, like, it's the dirty kid or whatever. Anyway, my kids
have to, like, explain bullying because Lucy's so mean.
Oh, man. Yeah. Peanuts is the worst.
Yeah, you couldn't really have
and also depression. Today, right? Like, you have to explain why Charlie Brown's so sad all the time. Like,
yeah.
It's unexplainable, well, kid. Sometimes you're just sad. I don't know.
I mean, it's kind of ironic that doesn't she have like a booth for like, she's a therapist.
Kissing? She's trying to kiss him all the time. Oh yeah.
No, it's a therapist. No. She's $0.05 for therapy.
I got to imagine she's breaking some HIPAA laws, right? I mean, I imagine some HIPAA laws like, being broken with
now
that.
Now we know why he's got mental health issues, this poor Charlie Brown. Sorry.
Yeah. And would you trust her with your deepest secrets, Charlie Brown? Like, she's going to use that as ammo.
And you paid her $0.05 for the pleasure.
Yeah. She charges. I'm going to go one further is I feel like Lucy may have really been a predator.
Alien versus Lucy. Yeah.
She was mean. She was very mean.
Anyway.
Well, I mean like a predator, like it's like going after people. Not like the ant, not the
ant. Anyway, I just feel like when I go to Universal Hollywood that there's something special of the fact that it's actually in a working studio. But it doesn't feel as magical because like you're seeing this ride is clearly in a studio warehouse. Like, mm-hmm. it's not like you're in Jurassic World, like the area and there's palm trees and stuff. You're just in front of like a big warehouse. So it's just a different vibe. And I think that's why they get more new stuff. Cause it's just it needs something because atmospherically speaking, they don't have a ton to work with there.
No,
not great.
Yeah. But Mario's going to be a big help and that looks super cool. And I'm really excited. I don't think it's going to be opening with the park, but this Donkey Kong Country coaster, I am really excited for that. I'm not sure if that's in an expansion plan or coming with
it. Is Mario Kart ride, is that opening ahead of the actual land or is that opening with land? Because I saw like a moving advertisement for it the other day. I was like, wow, this is
the land.
But yeah, I think so. I think it's with it.
That's what really shocked me. I was like, whoa, this is really coming along. Jeez. Mm-hmm. We got trailers for the rides and everything already.
I don't know. Hey, for friends, between you and we've all probably watched the video for the Mario Kart ride, right?
I didn't want to spoil it. I haven't watched a POV.
All right, I won't talk about it, but I was a little disappointed. I'm more excited about this Donkey Kong Country coaster. That's gonna feel like you're flying off the track and hitting another piece of track. Like, I'm like,
oh.
I'm hoping that maybe these rides will be size inclusive, because that's another thing about Universal that is a bummer. Why can they not accommodate larger people? I just don't understand. Especially Secret Life of Pets, this new dark ride that opened.
Yeah, it's a dark ride.
Like, they have a lap restraint.
Dark ride, yeah.
But they have a lap restraint on there that is like you are going to be going upside down. It is as intense or more intense than Gringotts. And it doesn't do anything but do a dark ride thing.
They just
So, like, there's literally a waist requirement to even ride the ride. Which I think is
that makes ridiculous. No sense. Well, I can't ride this ride, you know, because you just don't. Yeah. You should just sit there. Are they worried people are going to get up and touch things? Is that why?
I mean, but why you don't work? And this is in California where people are used to going to Disneyland where you don't get up and touch things on dark rides. So I think that's a silly worry. I don't know what that's about. It's not great, though. It's not a great look.
Well,
like, a simple lap bar would have done it. It doesn't like jostle you around violently.
Mm hmm.
Like, I think the turns are akin to Midway Mania. Like, those are a little bit more than a regular turn on a dark ride.
Sure.
But that still doesn't have, like, an all-out crazy restraint on it. So, I don't know.
Yeah. Let's hope so. There's a lot of rides I'm like, I don't know if I'm going to get on, like, even Velocicoaster.
And it's Universal specific.
Yeah.
Like, Disney can obviously do it, so I don't know why Universal.
Listen, Universal, you can't keep offering me like all the food and stuff and then tell me I can't ride your stuff. I got to have it both ways, okay? I can't be one or the other, friends, all right? There's no picking a lane when it's theme park time. Hey, listen, I heard there was a lot more action actually happening over in Halloween Horror Nights for Universal Studios Hollywood.
Yeah, we have a new speculation map for the different houses for Halloween Horror Nights in Hollywood. They haven't released much on the Orlando one, which Jeanette and I will be going to.
Yes, we are.
So good luck, Jeanette, while you have to deal with three scaredy cats coming with you.
I know, right? It's sounding more and more like I'm going to be leading the pack. So
I don't know. I was thinking about it. I think I might want to lead and you may have to get the rear because that scares me more than going head first.
Oh, okay, cool. I love the interaction. Bring me all the interaction. I love it.
I'm more of a bury my face into your back kind of fella when I'm scared, you know?
Yeah, I think I'll bite the bullet and I'll lead one of the houses and then I get to be in the middle for another one. You know, that's how I play this. Jeanette, Sheena, Amelia, and I, we got to figure out our order going through the houses in Orlando.
I like it. It's almost like a track team. Who's running anchor?
Exactly. So the speculation map for Halloween Horror Nights in Hollywood goes like this. They think there will be a Candyman one.
Oh.
And this is in the Waterworld area.
Yes. Candyman.
The Evil Dead. And this is the Walking Dead location.
Groovy.
A La Llorona, which is a very scary Mexican folktale woman who kills children in the river. And that is in the Parisian courtyard. Scarecrow, Curious George tent.
It's Curious George.
It's very odd, but there we are. Yeah.
So magical.
An American Werewolf in London. And this is also the Curious George tent. The Mummy versus the Wolfman, and that's the Mummy Q. The Weekend, which I still think is the weirdest possible thing.
I'm like, unless it's fully based around the costumes from his Super Bowl performance, I don't see what is happening.
I mean, is he going to be like a thing for, like, is he going to maybe perform a couple times and that's why that's there?
I mean, it's on a soundstage. I really couldn't tell you.
It's probably going to be a show.
It's also on the speculation map for Orlando, so
I'm not really sure
what it is.
Wait, he's probably not even going to be there. I can't imagine he's doing theme park stuff, right? But I think you might see it like be some type of show with his music.
Yeah, they do these musical people predictions, and the only one that I can think of, and correct me if I'm wrong, but the only musical person that I ever know that's had a house is Rob Zombie.
Yeah.
They predicted Billie Eilish a couple of years ago, and I was like, what? What are you talking about?
Yeah, but they always do some really cool like performance shows, and it's always at the soundstage. Last year, they had this. If you had small children, it was not a place for small children. That it was scary. It was like this nightmare thing. Did you guys see it? I forget what it was called, but it was like very.
Oh, it was very like Cirque. It was very Cirque meets
like S&M kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And but it was really, really the acrobatics was really fantastic.
Yeah.
And the show was great. I'm thinking it might be something similar to that, but with featuring his music. That's what I'm saying.
That would be cool. I would eat that up.
Okay, I have a pitch for you really quickly. Here we go. Okay, I call it Beach Blanket Basket Cases. And it's the Beach Boys. And it's a horror beach. And the Beach Boys went crazy and have terrorized all the kids at the beach partying. Because they drank some weird stuff and they went crazy and they start just mangling everybody. What do you think? Halloween Horror Nights, the Beach Boys, Universal Studios.
Question.
Yes.
Is John Stamos a part of this?
He is. Thank you. Thank you for tying it together, Gene. That's where I was going.
Gosh.
John Stamos is the villain, because he's a good guy at Disney. He's the yang to the yang. Anybody down for that pitch? Come on. It's music, right?
Anytime there's blood and beach involved, I'm there.
You know, Miriam, we're not on YouTube right now, so we can't see your like twisted face
your
on my
scared
ideas.
Face.
Anything with Stamos, I'm in, man. Love that dude.
All right.
All right, we have two more, and that is The Killer Clowns from Outer Space 2.
Sweet. Oh, the sequel, yes.
The squeakquel, yes.
Yeah.
And Terror Tram, Hollywood Harry.
Terror Tram's great. It's fun.
I don't know. Wait, which Terror Tram?
What is Hollywood Harry?
You know what? I don't know.
Harry and the Hendersons? Wow. Yeah.
This Harry guy is, I know I really enjoy the Tram tour and having the kind of,
mm-hmm. The scare actors on the tram tour.
Yeah, and like attacking the tram and you stopping and you're walking through scare zones and you're real. I don't know. It's just super fun. I think it's really cool. But
yeah.
you guys can tell me all about it when you go on it and you get scared on it. And when you meet Harry.
Well, they don't have it at Orlando. We're going to Orlando.
Oh, I thought you were going to Hollywood. Oh.
No.
Hollywood's always tends to get announced first, I feel.
It does.
Yeah.
And it's
typical. Do you guys already have a date for Orlando?
Yes.
Yeah, the dates are
October
up.
October 7th through 11th. You mean
when you guys are going to be there?
October 7th through 11th.
We all got it. Because I know that there's a bunch of us that are going to want to go to that too. So we got to all link up together.
I'm excited for my first Halloween Horror Nights. I used to go to a really famous shock house, like terror house in New Orleans called House of Shock. And that one was like very intense. So I feel like all of this is going to be a little bit below what I'm used to. So it's going to be a little bit like a walk in the park, but it's going to be fun. I'm really
Don't worry. We'll amp you up because you're with three, I'm telling you, true scaredy cats.
I really wish I had gotten to go to the Rob Zombie house. That's the one that I really want to go to one day.
He has a dedicated one here in Phoenix. So you should just come here for Halloween.
I would
We'll go to Disneyland. Yeah.
Sounds fun.
Yeah, and it's interesting. At Halloween Horror Nights, this makes sense. You can't wear a costume or even bound very intensely because obviously they don't want people to pretend to be scare actors. But we did have like a whole Beetlejuice theme that we were going to do, and now we kind of have to scale that back. But I think I'm going to do a light Rick O'Connell from The Mummy bound for this Halloween Horror Night.
I think Amelia and I were looking at doing two of the girls from The Craft. I think
we could just all be The Craft.
If you do Rick O'Connell, you could be like kind of like where you have like rope tied around your arms and stuff like Rick O'Connell. We haven't seen him in forever. Where's he been? He hasn't been in a movie in so long. So you could be like, he just escaped from what...
I still have the power to kick you out of this Zoom call, and I will use it.
And he has been. He was in a pretty successful movie last year, so...
Thank you.
No regrets.
What movie?
About to be in another one.
No Sudden Moves.
Never heard of it.
I'm on it.
About to be in a Martin Scorsese.
I'm on it.
So put that in your hat, Gene.
Is he really?
He's also Canadian, so back off, buddy. All right.
Is he really?
Yeah.
That's your problem.
You got three Brendan Fraser stands in this chat.
Yep.
I mean, I got like a toe in. I wouldn't say the whole foot is in there, but you know.
How dare you?
He did win an Oscar for Encino Man, so I apologize.
He should have. It was wonderful.
Wheezing the juice? Yeah, that was a good one.
Wheezing.
So, of all of these, which one of these like houses stand out for you? Like, are you most excited for Tinker Jay?
You go first.
Sorry.
But anyway. I think scare-wise, I do like the... Is it La Llorona? Is that the name of it?
La Llorona.
La Llorona.
Yeah. That's the one that is the most interesting to me and I think has the most potential to be actually scary.
Mm. Mm-hmm. Okay.
She's very scary.
Miriam, what which one are you looking forward or are looking least forward to, if you know what I mean?
Yeah, none of these are really... I like the ones that are, like, a little more pop culture-y and little... Sure. Like, I would have liked to go to the Ghostbusters one last year.
Oh,
that
was so
or good. 2 years ago. Yeah. Like, none of these are, like...
That looked so good.
Yeah, none of these are, like, scratching the itch. I can tell you I will never be going to Killer Clowns from Outer Space 2. Like, no.
Are you scared of clowns, or is it just because it sounds
Yes.
Funny?
They're terrifying. Oh. Like, regular clowns.
Those movies are so funny.
And you know
though.
They're not going to have, like, soft, circular clown makeup. They're all going to be, like, triangular.
Yeah.
No, I'm out.
Triangular. Like, watch out for those triangles.
Scary and off-putting. Yeah.
I don't know. I feel like it's less scary because they're just, like, big, dopey clowns. I'm like, oh, okay, well, whatever. Clowns with blood and stuff on
clowns
them?
Freak me out.
Really? I'm most excited for the Evil Dead one, obviously, just because I love Evil Dead. But I don't know if it'll be the scariest. I think I'm just interested to see what tone they go with. Like, if you're an Evil Dead fan,
yeah,
there's a lot of comedy there. But are they going with this new movie that's coming out? I think is going to be darker. And the remake they made, The Evil Dead, was darker. And then the TV series that they previously had done, it wasn't Evil Dead. It was Ash versus the Evil Dead, The Maze. Mm-hmm. And so it had a big comedy element. So I'm interested to see which camp they're in for this one. I hope it's a little bit of both because I do love it. And the Evil Dead video game just came out and it's got a little bit of both. It's a crazy game.
And could it potentially have an Army of Darkness room? Because then I'd be...
That would be cool.
Super down.
That would be so rad. Yeah.
Yeah. I'd be so down.
Yeah. So I guess we'll see. So I'm most excited about that one. Gina, how about you?
I kind of agree with Ticket J. I think the La Llorona one, because that fable or whatever you want to call it, mm-hmm, is scary in general. James Wan, I thought, did a good job with that movie. I think it was James Wan, right? So if it's like that, I could see that one having a lot of jump scares, a lot of intense.
And the makeup moments. Has a lot of potential too.
You yeah, it definitely does.
With that.
Typically, I'd say I'd love to see something like the old classics, like what was it, Werewolf versus what was it again? The Mummy
versus the Wolfman.
Yeah, so like usually I would love to see those, but I always feel like they never really come correct with the real scariness to it. It's kind of more like
some scenes.
Yeah, I would like it if it was the Mummy versus Teen Wolf.
But I'll tell you what, if the Weeknd is what I'm thinking, where it's going to be this really cool stage show with the Weeknd music, I'm all in for that. That sounds like it'd be pretty cool.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Sounds like fun.
I just don't know what it is, but
yeah.
Well, that's great. I mean, we're all pumped and it's always fun to watch, look at the map. And then when the thing actually comes out, you're like, oh, they got a lot of those wrong. That's interesting. What else is happening in the news, Miriam?
I think Tinker J has our next news item with a little birthday.
Ooh. Yeah, so it's this week is the 32nd anniversary of Universal. Today actually is the day, and that's very exciting. Yay for Universal.
Yeah.
They're not doing anything. You go to their website. You go to their website. It's nowhere on the page. And I just, as someone who loves a good anniversary celebration, and we're currently having an 18-month celebration that we cannot escape commercials for at Disney, and the fact that Universal's 30th anniversary got wrecked by COVID, which they also had announced, again, correct me if I'm wrong, had announced next to nothing celebration.
And also,
anniversary.
Also their 20th anniversary for Halloween Horror Nights was in 2020. So like...
No, in 2021, it was the 30th anniversary. And they did more for that than they're doing for this. Like, they at least announced merchandise. They had special snacks.
Yeah.
They really amped it up. They were like, 30 years of Halloween Horror Nights. I literally have seen no... I've seen one tweet from Universal about their anniversary. And I just
said before though about how they always kind of troll Disney a little bit. You think they're like,
yeah,
anniversaries, we don't really care. Let them talk about for 18 months. We don't really care.
Their 30th anniversary, that whole year, like part of that year they were closed and like they definitely didn't have full crowds. I feel like this is the year you'd be like making up for it. Like, hey, you couldn't come for our 30th anniversary. Let's get really pumped for this one. And there's literally just like crickets. No literature. There's no ads. There's no nothing.
I honestly like that. They're like, yeah, so we opened 30 years ago, whatever. But they're like, but we came up with Halloween Horror Nights 30 years ago, and that's more important. And I'm like, yeah, it kind of is. Yeah. I don't know.
They hyped that. They had that special tribute store for the 30th anniversary. Yeah. Like, that was huge. That was everywhere.
They're for sure leaning into, like, the leaders of scary, right?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I like that for them. I think it's fun.
Yeah, so hilarious. I'm just like, I wish there was a little more, but I am saying, yay, Universal. I'm going to celebrate the 30th this year because we basically, it got scooted back a couple years.
I love
Speaking of scary stuff, like, do you guys, like, I didn't see anywhere on any speculation map a Stranger Things house, which Stranger Things season 4 is the last
right?
season.
I thought the
kinda
same
kind of shocked
thing.
That they didn't partner. And this season, the villain is so freaking scary.
Right?
That, yeah. I really think, would be a cool house. Like, Vecna's house. And it's set in a house in this one.
So yeah. Like, very, very It-like or Freddy Krueger-like. And tell me, I mean, I don't want to give stuff away, but have you guys all seen the new season?
Yes.
Most of it, yeah.
All but the last of the
Very
the
much Freddy Krueger vibes, no?
Yeah, and Arachnophobia with the,
which and Robert
Black
England
Widow even, scene.
Uh-huh. Yeah, and Robert England even makes a cameo in this, who played Freddy Krueger in the 80s.
I also like that they're making 80s references with, like, the Satanic Panic is, like, a huge theme in this, which obviously in the 80s was, like, a huge... Like,
lasting effects.
I think the thing I like the most, I don't want to get too much into this, but I like that they kind of circled back to the first season. Like, you know what I mean? Like, the monsters named after a Dungeons and Dragons reference again. And it's just kind of that they went back to D&D, which I thought was kind of, you know, it's just kind of like what made us all fall in love with this thing in season one.
No, as someone who used to play, I definitely love all of the, like, I like coming back to that. I like that the monsters are always from that.
Yeah.
An interesting little tidbit that I found out when I was researching for my Marvel Monday post, the Hellfire Club, which is what's in the show.
There's actually
a group of villains in the Marvel universe in the comic books called the Hellfire Club. So I thought that was kind of weird. I don't think they're related at all, but I just thought that was kind of weird.
Very cool. Yeah. I like that. I had like a ninth level cleric. How about you, Jeanette? You
know? I always played a nymph.
A nymph? Oh.
The time.
I liked blunt weapons, you know. Anyway, D&D stuff. Anyway, carrying on. Sorry, Miriam. What was that?
Yeah.
Well, okay. So, in the show, this isn't giving away too much, but there is a way out of Vecna's curse, and that is to play your favorite song and, like, listen to it on headphones. Do you guys have a Disney song that would get you out of Vecna's curse, you think?
Oh, a Disney song.
Without a doubt.
Oh.
What is it?
Oh, me? I'll go first. Yeah. Sure. Like, I feel like the song has to carry you away, has to pull you away. And just
I know what it is. Already.
Just like the song
that's
meant to be like the Pied Piper to follow you from away from danger. I would say the yodel song from.
Every time.
Second worst Disney song after Shiny.
The yodel song from. Oh, what's the movie? Home on the Range.
Home on the Range.
You don't even know.
The most underrated songs in all of Disney. Look, the movie isn't great. It's okay. I give it a 6. I give it a 6, but the music in it, it's what's his name? It's the big dog. I'm forgetting his name right now.
Randy Quaid.
No. The composer who does everything.
Oh. Randy Newman?
No.
Alan Menken.
It's Alan Menken.
I think it's Alan
and
Menken.
It's Menken.
Yeah.
The songs are great. The opening song is awesome. That yodel song, he yodels like Beethoven. Like, I'm down. Vecna, be gone. I'm yodeling.
You are crazy.
How about you, Miriam? What song's getting you out of there?
I feel like I know what it is. From the Jungle Book every time.
Yeah.
It's so fun.
I thought it was going to be Fortown, to be honest.
I like those songs, but they're not my favorite now.
Yeah.
It's I Want to Be Like You. It's so fun. It's got that drum beat in the beginning and it's in Mickey's Mixed Magic. And every time I watch that show, like, once I see that scene, I'm like, I could leave now. Like, I'm so happy. That was good. Yeah. And I love that they put that, like, it's not in every show. And yeah, I love it.
Louis Prima.
What about you?
Yeah.
Tinker Jay.
Love Louis Prima.
So I figure this has to be like something that like is your singable lyric-y song, your one that you always have to sing along with. Mm-hmm. And for me, it is, and this one's been being put in the fireworks shows and stuff more too, so that makes me happy, is Out There from Hunchback.
Interesting. All right.
Interesting. If a monster's bearing down about to kill you, that's the jam. Huh.
Yeah, that's my, I was sitting here thinking, because like, I know I have like my like regular song, non-Disney related, and then like, I thought I was going to say, Everybody Get Your Ears On. I was like, no, that makes me happy, but that's not like my thing. The one that like it's irresistible that I have to sing along is Out There.
Yeah. Yeah. I want to be like you, is that for me? For yeah. Sure. I have to sing that one.
Love that.
Gene?
Oh, I got the best one. And I listen to this when I got to get away from, not just from Vecna. If Mrs. Fitzmagic's in a bad mood, I put this song in my head. Happily Ever After, but the Jordan Fisher version of it.
Oh.
Happily. I listen to it sometimes before shows to get myself in that Disney mood. I love it.
Wow. Okay. I like that. Oh, that's very cool.
Yeah. A friend of mine posted one this week where he was like, you're a Disney fan, or it's like Vecna has you in his curse, but you're a Disney fan, so it's okay. And if his was Fantasmic, and I'm like,
yeah.
It's great. That's cool. That's awesome.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. ChumbaCasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
There's a lot more park news. I have a little slice of news. Can I throw something out there?
Yeah, let's hear it.
Mm-hmm. Okay, it's pretty ridiculous, but have you guys spent any time at the Brown Derby? You must. Come on.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Not a big Brown Derby guy. I've eaten there once and I didn't.
I've never eaten there. It's too expensive. I'm like, what? With my kids, forget it. You're fancy, Tinker Jay. Don't owe me. You're a culinary connoisseur, and you like to get fancy. I'm like, where the corn dogs be at? Eat these kids.
You got rides to get on. You're in Disneyland. You guys don't have good corn dogs out there.
Okay, come. But the Brown Derby is kind of famous for not only its fancy beverages, but also for that kind of. All the famous people that have come in and signed and autographed the walls and Steve and stuff like that. So, well, apparently somebody posted on Twitter, Stone Cold Steve Austin's autograph somewhere in the Brown Derby walls and, from 2016, and Stone Cold on, his Twitter said fake signature, fake sig friends. That's not me. So I don't know what's going on over there over at the Brown Derby. If they're just faking famous people and throwing up these, cause listen, this, it's not just a signature. It's like, thanks for an amazing dinner. WWE champion.
In 2016, who's trying to fake Stone Cold Steve Austin's signature?
Like, I don't know. What? Stone Cold's
huge. What are you talking about?
Trying to was in like 2001.
No.
Yeah, you know what? Tinker Jay might be right. He was really big. Like,
the timeline seems off here.
Yeah.
For sure.
Who cares in 2016?
So what? Are you saying that he did and forgot?
Too many
concussions,
know.
Maybe?
He had too many Manhattans there. I don't know.
Was this at the Disney one?
At the Brown Derby? Yeah, it's at Hollywood Studios.
Or the real Brown Derby is what I'm asking.
Disney one.
No, okay. This is just the Hollywood Studios version. Anyway, well, there you go. Stone Cold Steve Austin, former WWE
Someone's
champion.
Someone's not telling the truth. It's either Disney or Stone Cold. Steve Austin.
But Stone Cold put a stunner on this rumor. He was like, nope, not me.
Wow. What if a bunch of other like people who've signed that are like, that's also fake?
Yeah, like, I'd like to verify the signature.
A new Hollywood Studios scandal. Like,
that's hilarious. There's also some more news coming out of the parks. The Disney minivans are returning on the 29th of June, and they are obviously still available through the Lyft app. You know, I don't know if you've ever taken one of these things. They're interesting because it's kind of like taking a bit of a tour. These drivers aren't just drivers. They're kind of like tour guides, and they give you kind of a really interesting drive and have a lot to talk about. However, they only do the resort. It's if you're going to the airport, you can't. If you're going to another park or you're going to another hotel, these vans have to stay on property. So I didn't know that. I always thought, oh, I can take this to an airport, and you can't. So,
yeah, the times that we've taken them, I mean, we could do a little mini, is it worth it right now? Yeah. And my opinion would be no,
right.
It's not worth it. It's like, you think you're going to get it. Like, I just think they could have done some extra little pluses that would have made it crazy awesome. Like put some special lights, like cash cab that like light up to the Disney music, and like have like little extras in there, you know. Yeah. Even my Uber driver gives me free mints. Like, I don't know. I'm like, but, you know, just yeah. something yeah. for the price that you're paying, because it is, I mean, like you can take an Uber all over Disney your whole trip and you barely break $100. For these things, it's like $40 to get from Magic Kingdom to your resort. It's yeah. like, it's bonkers.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I do feel like they could do something a little extra and make that extra Disney magic to make it stand out. But yeah, I don't know.
I think the Disney magic is supposed to be the driver that, you know, bestows all this history on you. But I have a quick story on this. I remember my last trip, the last time I was at Disney Friends, it was before COVID. I know, so spoiler alert. And I think the minivans had just come out. And I was so pumped to take one. I'm like, I'm going to, because I was moving from hotel to hotel. So my wife and I decided, I'm like, we're going to do this minivan thing. And I went up to the front and I went to order it. And on that day, they upped the price and it made me upset. And I said, no, it was $30 and it went to $35. And I was like, no. Even the sign still said $30. And they're like, actually, it's $35 now. Sorry, we haven't changed the signage. And I refused to pay. So
yeah, as well you should.
I was so angry. I was like, are you kidding me? No. That you've
one of the times we took it, if I'm not mistaken, maybe I am, I don't want to say that. I'm trying to remember if it was a minivan or not, but the driver got lost.
What? No.
I could be wrong. I could be wrong. Well, I will tell you, back in the day, way back in the 90s, kids, we were on a bus that got lost. Off of Disney property.
We were lost. Oh no!
In the dark, in the night. So
I'm terrifying.
Very like on edge about this. I'm always like, where are we going?
Oh my gosh, that's so scary.
They dropped you off
at SeaWorld.
I'm more
afraid of the bus getting lost than the minivan.
Well, hey, friends. So we've been going pretty long on this news thing, but I think there's one big piece of news that we definitely want to get to before we wrap this thing up. And it's the yes. big piece of news. Miriam, tell us what's shaking down over at Disneyland.
So last week at Disneyland, they stopped selling every magic key. It used to be like, I think they sold out of their top tier and their middle tier magic key in the wintertime, like shortly before Christmas. And but there were still two keys available, the Southern California one and the one just a little bit more expensive than that was open to anybody to buy. And now they're not selling any of them. They've put a pause on all of it. And nobody really knows what it means, because we are coming up on 1 year of Magic Keys. So everybody is getting very close to renewal, and they have not released any information about whether we will even be allowed to renew a magic key, or if there will be magic keys or anything. There is no information. So to say that Disneylanders are on edge about this is an understatement.
Yeah.
It's causing a lot of anxiety. There are rumors that they put a pause on new magic key sales to let people who already are currently magic key holders renew. But nobody has confirmed that. So it's like,
I think that's what happened out here. Mm-hmm. And whenever we were all wondering if they were going to even have annual passes mm-hmm. anymore, mm-hmm. and you couldn't buy new ones. And so we renewed, and they had extended and extended. And then for a while, and now I'm not even sure what's available out here anymore. Mm-hmm. For a while, they had suspended sales of all of them. And then they were all back. And then it was just the most expensive one was suspended. We are going to renew, but this happened with us too, where that felt like what they were doing. They were getting people, not giving people the option to buy new ones so that people who had them could renew. But now where crowd capacity is not a thing anymore, they're not monitoring capacity. They are still monitoring park reservations. So mm-hmm. in some regard, they're monitoring it, right? So right.
Yeah.
Right. That plays into it.
Right.
I mean, I really don't understand still, though, because they're controlling how many pass holders go in every day, and there's only a certain amount of reservations you can get. I don't see why that stops them from selling passes, though. Like, they still get to decide how many pass holders can come every day.
I'm just confused because I feel like there's a ton of money. There's a ton of revenue that feels lost on this. And
well, especially Disneyland.
Yeah.
70% of the revenue at Disneyland is from pass holders.
I feel like.
And that is nuts that you would just alienate your best fan base and yeah. the people who come the most and spend the most money.
Unless they already kind of they've reached the capacity of numbers of the passes they want to give out, and they just want to let that number kind of come back down to earth a little bit. That could be it.
They're all about the moolah, man. Like I feel like right now Disney's been like, what other thing can we do that doesn't cost us anything that we can make more money? Genie Plus, a lot of these nighttime events, taking away things that were free and now they're not. Like
PhotoPass on said annual passes.
All these things. Mm-hmm. So how does not selling passes equate? Like it just doesn't add up to me. But I feel like they're checking the temperature, reloading. I feel like this is temporary. They got
it. It's not stopping them from raising the prices on the annual passes when they are available. Because no.
Don't you guys think that?
Well,
to be honest with you, if they pause this, think about it. It makes sense. If you pause the sale on it and now people are worried about not getting it again. And when they bring it back, you're going to want to snatch an opportunity of getting it because you're afraid if you don't get it now, they might stop again in a few months and you might miss an opportunity. And at that point, you might be willing to pay a little bit more.
It also corners people who have them into renewing. Because I got to tell you, like, I don't know how many people I've talked to who are like, yeah, typically I would have let it lapse. Forget the renewal discount. I would have just gone and gotten it when it was more.
You guys convenient. Get a renewal discount?
Yeah, we get like what? Mild.
Oh, I think it's like
10% or something.
Bonkers. Yeah,
it's usually just whatever the cost of the increase is. Really,
your pass is cheaper, and you get a renewal discount.
Yeah, if you renew, you get it for cheaper than buying a new one. So,
ours is cheaper than Disneyland's.
By a lot. My pass, I have the best one you can get, and it was $1,600.
Which has got to be really infuriating with the smaller.
Stop it!
Castle.
Don't even.
Miriam, let me ask you something. I feel like we've talked about this a long time ago when they started rolling out these passes. Wouldn't the world just be a better place if they made that top pass way more expensive and then made those other passes cheaper and it really drive the locals to go to the park during the week? You know what I mean?
Well, that's what they did with this new blackout calendar. Like Kiara, for example, has the Southern California one and she's blacked out for the whole summer. I don't have any blackout dates. And like, so the thing that made people really mad about having the best level pass when they came back was they brought them back right at Halloween time. So people were dying to go because also the park had only been open for 2 months by then.
Yeah.
So people were dying to go. It was during Halloween time and reservations for passes were very limited. And if you spent the most amount of money on a pass and they told you no blackout dates, and you tried to go and you couldn't get a reservation, people were really mad. And it's like, yeah. So basically what ended up happening was weekends were completely blocked out, but a lot of weekdays were also blocked out. So Kiara, who got the cheapest pass, and me, who got the most expensive pass, had the exact same access to the park.
Yeah.
And that is, I'm sorry, that's just not how you should be running that.
No way.
If you paid the most, you should be able to go.
Absolutely.
And so that was where people were really mad. And I think they did have to kind of like take a step back and realize like we need to open up more reservations for the top tier is called the Dream Key.
Yeah.
They're like, we need to open more Dream Key reservations. And now I don't have a problem getting a reservation. Like,
right.
Since they and that was around Thanksgiving time when they fixed that. So
and they're cornering the people they want to corner. Like for me, I'm an out of state pass holder. Mm-hmm. I don't have the option to buy. Used to you could buy the top two. There were two different ones you could get.
Now
if you're out of state, you can't buy anything but the top one.
Yeah,
like, you're just not allowed to.
Yeah.
So it's like they've got me in two ways. Like I have to renew. and I can't opt to buy a different pass.
Yeah. And with mine, you can get, there's three that you can get, but I work weekdays. I have to have weekends available to go. So they kind of have me there. But the thing about this, like, oh, we're going to pause. If that's what they're doing, they have, again, Disney hasn't said what they're doing with these passes. The whole, we're going to pause to let people renew their pass. My pass isn't up until October, and they stopped selling the Dream Keys November 1. Like, what do I do if that happens again?
Yeah.
And I can't renew until October, and they've decided not to sell the best pass anymore, and that's the one I need to get. Like, there's just a lot of anxiety here, and
sure,
I don't know how they're going to work it out, because, like I said, Disneyland, we're such pass people. I think this is, it's just a lot to take in, that maybe that won't be happening anymore. Like, what I can get out of an annual pass would only be three trips throughout the year. And that, like, I'm used to going for 2 days a month every month. So, like, in February, I went 2 times. So,
yeah,
I don't know. Just getting 3 trips out of something just sounds sad.
But would you, would you feel, Miriam, the way you use your pass is a little bit unique? Like, there's not as many people that kind of don't live this close or live as far as you do that, but go as often as you do. Like, I feel like you're a unique user of this pass.
Well, I think about Sheena, and she goes about as often as I do, and she has a pass. Like, I don't know. I think if you're buying an annual pass, you're a fan and you're going a lot. Yeah,
I suppose. I just feel like it's, you guys are kind of the outlier, right? Like, people who live out of state, they try to go as often as they can.
I don't know about California, but out of state pass holders, I think in general, it is a rare thing. Definitely comparatively ratio wise to true locals.
But the thing with the parks being in Southern California, like, it's only a 5-hour drive for me.
Sure.
Nothing. Of course. Like, I'm gonna do that, you know. So there's a lot of Arizona pass holders because it's really not that far to drive there.
Yeah. It's 5 hours for me to drive to Montreal. Same thing. Yeah. Bonjour.
If it was in San Francisco, this might be a different conversation. I wouldn't be driving all the way up there all the time like I do now, you know?
Well, I still feel confident that, you know, there's so many of these pass holders on the West Coast. There is just no way they're going to turn their back on them. It's just impossible. And also,
they would face a huge backlash. I think it would be very ugly if they
It was already ugly when took it away, when people were paid for the premium pass had no access. It was all a bad look, really bad. So I think they don't want to make the same mistake twice, and they're trying to figure this out. And it just looks like, listen, this reservation system is not going away. We thought it was a COVID measure.
The reservation system isn't even, that's like, it's all fine. Like, the good news about the Disney community is they will find hacks, right? So, like, the reservation system was hard in the beginning, and now everybody, like, has figured it out. I hardly ever hear about people complaining about the reservation system.
Really? Okay.
It's actually, in Disneyland, it is actually harder to get a reservation with a paid ticket, which you would think they would have so many slots for paid tickets open.
Yeah.
It is hard to get a paid ticket slot. So that tells me they care more, hopefully, about I don't want them to care more about the pass holders, but care equally for your paid ticket and your pass holder.
Sure, sure, sure.
But the fact that they're Dapper Day, I easily got a reservation, and my friend was coming with me, and we were just stalking the website all hours of the day to try and get her a paid ticket reservation. And finally one popped up, but the fact that I could just get one with a pass and they're not selling tickets to let people in, something's not adding up here. I don't know what the deal is.
Yeah. Huh. Well, I got to tell you, I feel like there's still a lot of people that feel burned by this, and seeing the Dream Key go away at this moment is kind of funky, but listen, I still feel like it's just so much money to be made there, and you would be making so many people unhappy. I don't know how Disney doesn't make the turn, and maybe they're waiting till D23 to reveal what they're going to do. And maybe that's the big
point,
the big hoorah. So, you know, I'm willing to be patient and wait until then to see what's what. Well, friends, I think this is a good place to wrap this up. Wow. So much for our short episode. Hey, friends, we talked a long time. So now we're going to say, see you later, my homies. That was We Like Theme Parks bonus news extra right here on the We Like Theme Parks, a part of the Diz Nerdy Network.
So yeah, this song, it was Mike Treblecock. That guy's a good guy. Check him out at, what's the website again, Miriam? What is it?
MikeTreblecockMusic.com.
Oh, booyah, that's the spot. And don't forget to check out the Disney Network, all the cool content that's on there, on the YouTubes. And if you haven't subscribed to this episode, this show yet, what's going on, man? Come on, let's get this going. We like theme parks. Yeah. So I'm just going to cut right to it. So for Miriam, for Tinker J, for Gina, I'm Bondo. That's all, folks. We'll see you real soon. Why? Because we like you. And I'm supposed to press the button on end, and I messed up, but that's okay. Here we go.
We like theme parks.
And the news sometimes. Yeah. See you next time, friends.